We've been on the Ten Commandments, but we took a little hiatus from those Ten Commandments. Fact is, if everything goes well this Sunday, we will get back to the Ten Commandments. But I felt led of the Holy Spirit that we look at least 12 verses from Ephesians chapter 1, because we need, as God's people, to remember who we are, because we've forgotten about that. We've forgotten about who we are. I want to share with you, if you want to turn in your Bibles, but I think Chris has it for us, something in Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul is at Corinth. He's had a great revival there at Corinth, and he's had some opposition. You know, the devil is always there with his opposition anytime. And you young people who gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ, remember, you're going to have some opposition. Some of your friends won't be your friends anymore. But there were some vagabond Jews, that's traveling Jews, that they saw what Paul was doing. They saw that Paul could speak to the demons and they would go away. And so some of those Jews, seven brothers, they decided they were going to do that. So in Acts chapter 19 and verse 14, they try to do this. They try to speak to the demons. And verse 15, you'll note it what it said. And the evil spirit answered and says, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" You know, that's what the world is asking. Who are you? You claim to go to church. You claim to be a child of God. But who are you anyway? And you know, instead of being like Paul and Jesus there, and the demons and the evil spirits and the world out here today, instead of them getting away from us, we're the ones that are cringing in front of the world. We are church. We are cringing in front of the world. We're letting the world lift up their heroes. We're letting the world, and when I say the world, that's those people who are against Jesus Christ. We're letting them take over, and we Christians are cringing like that when the world needs to know who we are. And the world will not know who we are until we know who we are. If you are a child of God, then you are somebody very important. Go with me now to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to do a very, very quick recap because I don't want to do a whole lot with what we've already went over. But we saw last week, last Sunday, in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 1, if you are a child of God, if you're a Christian, you're a changed person. You know, Paul identified himself as Paul. He used to be Saul. Saul of Tarsus, who was against the church, who tried to stamp out the young church. But he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he became a changed man. Such a changed man that he went from Saul, the avenger, to Paul, an apostle. And if we've found Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there should be and there will be a change in our life. That's something. You're a changed person. I don't care what you used to be. I don't care what you used to do. I don't care what, if you've been in jail or out of jail, or if you've been whatever. It doesn't matter. If you've come to Jesus Christ, He's forgiven you and put that as far as the east is from the west, and you're changed. And not only are you changed, but you become God's messenger. In verse 1, Paul, an apostle. That word apostolos means a person sent with a message. You think you're nobody. I just go to church and sit down and I hear the preacher or I sing in the choir and that's all I do. You are a messenger. If you've been changed, you love Jesus Christ, then you have some good news that you need to share. We are faithful saints too in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints. You are saints. Not somebody that some man somewhere or some committee gets together and say, well, so-and-so about 500 years ago did a good job, we'll make him a saint. That's not what it is. Saints aren't sinless people, but saints are saved sinners. So if you are a saved sinner today, you're a saint and you'll be faithful. You'll be in your place in church. You'll be in your place to do what needs to be done. You will be one who gives. And we are in Christ, Paul says. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ. I'm glad that we can be in Jesus Christ. We can be in His hands. He told us. He said in John that He holds us in His hands. And no devil in hell, no person out in the world, no human being is going to be able to take you out of God's hands. We are in His protection. We're in His hands, we're in Him, and He is in us. And now let's move on to the next one. We have God's great grace and His peace. Oh, the world today wants peace. But we can be like that soldier in Vietnam. He had a nagging wife. I mean, every day he'd get a letter, and she would nag him in that letter, nag him in that letter. So one day he wrote back to her, and he says, "Will you please let me have some peace in the midst of this war?" So we can have peace in the midst of the war. There's a war going on, a war against the church. A war against Christianity, a war against Jesus Christ, a war against morals, a war against everything that's good and everything that's righteous. The world is trying to overcome us, and sometimes we as Christians won't just throw up our hands and quit and say, I can't go on. But you can, because you've got God's great grace, His favor. His favor and His love and His kindness, that's what it means. Grace means kindness. God's kindness is with you. God's grace is with you. God's peace is with you. We're blessed, verse 3 says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that hath blessed us. Well, we'll back up. There's two things. We're to be filled with praise. You know, we talked about last week. If you've been saved, you got God's grace for you, you've been forgiven. Why in the world can't you get a little happy in your salvation now and then? You know, I say, why do you walk around moaning and groaning and complaining and finding fault and pointing your finger when you ought to be walking around praising God and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me? We are to be filled with praise in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father. That means praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in turn has blessed us. Now that blessed there is a different word. It means to make happy. Jesus Christ is here to make us happy. He came not only to save us, to make us happy. John 10:10, my favorite verse, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He came that we might have everlasting eternal life, but we can have that life more abundantly, full and running over and overflowing. That's the way we ought to be as Christians, overflowing with love, overflowing with God's grace, overflowing with praise, because He hath already right now blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And that's where we got to last time. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And you say, yeah, by and by, we'll get some pie in the sky when we die. Everything, you know, I'm glad there's a heaven. And I'm glad I'm going there and not going to hell. You say, how do you know you're not going to hell? I've got Jesus Christ in my heart. He saved me. He gave me a ticket to heaven. I've got my reservations. But sometimes we blessed Christians, We walk around like, oh, I'll just be glad I get to heaven. Then maybe I can praise the Lord. I mean, what in the world's going on with us? We walk around like a mule. You know what a mule is? A mule's got a long face. And a lot of us are Christian mules. We just walk around with that long face all the time. Well, by and by, it'll be over, and I'll go to heaven and be all right then. Bless God, you ought to be all right down here. Because Jesus came, what? That He has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places or in the heavenlies. Where's the heavenlies? Right here this morning. When God's people get together, what did Jesus say? Where two or three are assembled in My name, I'll be in their midst. Heaven is where Jesus is. And you say, well, I know He's up there now. He's not down here. But what did He say? It's expedient in John that I must go away. But I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. I will send the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Spirit of Jesus Christ to do what? To be in you and with you. So everywhere you walk, you're in heavenly places, ought to be. When you walk in this church, it ought to be a heavenly place. I've heard so many people in so many churches, they'll call me on the phone. Don't even say, you don't know me. But I just want to tell you, I just can't go to church no more. There's so much going on there. Then something's wrong. If we can't walk in this place and feel like it's in a heavenly place, to feel like you're on holy ground, then something's wrong. Something's wrong in your heart. Something's wrong in your life. And you better get it straightened out with Jesus Christ, because we're blessed right here now. This is a blessed place. This is a place of worship. This is a place of praise. And it ought to be on our hearts. It ought to be on our faces. Blessed us with heavenly places in Christ. You say, well, what are them blessings? You know, I just use my plain old country boy language. What are those blessings? Well, don't you see that? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, my Bible has dot, dot in Christ. I don't know what Bible Chris is using up there. Oh, just picking at him back there. But all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, dot, dot, colon. You know, we overlook those colons. There you got it. He went to the right translation this time. Oh, me. He's a miracle worker back there. You just tell him what you want, instantly it happens. Oh, I sent him an email last night. You know, he worked hard and all the rest of you did, but he stayed out in the wind all the time and operated the sound equipment. And I said, go home and get some rest, take care of yourself, because how are we going to function back there without him and Bronson? And then both of them need to take care of themselves back there. But anyway, you see that colon. Well, a colon, if you just want it in grammatical terms, means it explains or lists elements that precede that mark. So we want to know what these heavenly blessings are that we have in Christ Jesus. Well, look at them. Accordingly, or just as He, that is God, has already chosen us in Him, in Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world. That's one of your blessings. You've been chosen. You want to know who you are? You are a chosen person. Before God ever made this world, before he ever shaped up the mountains and scooped out the seas, before he ever threw the stars out into the night, before the moon began to shine, before the sun ever caused the grass to grow, Jesus Christ had you in his mind. You say, I don't understand that. I don't understand it either. I can't explain it. It's mind-boggling. My wife and I, sometimes we try to figure things out and we just start pulling our hair, but I don't have to pull mine. Can't get a hold of it. But before there was a world, before there was anything, there was God. And that God had you on his mind. So Christian, don't be so down and out. Christian, rejoice. Christian, get your eyes off the negative and start looking at the positive. You are somebody. I hear too many people, and I come in contact with too many people who say, I'm nobody. Nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me, but you know God loved you before you ever were. God loved you. And his love didn't cease when you came into this world. His love doesn't cease when you don't live up to his will. His love doesn't cease. He still reaches out to love you. You're somebody. You want to know who you are? You've been chosen by Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Uh-oh. You say, there, preacher, that's it. Holy and without blame. Holy means set apart. Holy means pure. Without blame means that, you know, I don't have any transgressions in my heart, my life. You say, preacher, that ain't so. I know it's not. I cannot be holy. I am not without blame in my own self. But read that again. Accordingly, or just as he has already chosen you in him before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and without blame because of his love. That's the real English translation. It says without blame before him in love, but it means that we can only be holy and without blame because of his love. His love, his shed blood. If you're a child of God, you're going to fall. Oh, you're going to mess up. Oh, you're going to hurt somebody. And most of the time we hurt the ones we love, husbands and wives. You know, sometimes it's not holy at home, is it? Sometimes there's a whole lot of blame at home. I'm pointing my finger at you, she'll say, or he'll say, because of you. Lord, because of this woman you gave me, I'm in this mess, just like Adam said. We all do that, don't we? But I'm glad that God says his blood, the Bible says that his blood cleanses us from all sin. That is, his blood continually. That word, his blood cleanses us from all sin, is in that tense in the Greek where it's a continual action. Once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, he continues to cleanse us. Oh, Lord Jesus, I messed up. Lord Jesus, I did something I shouldn't have done today. John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to do what? To forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all that unrighteousness. That's all it takes, Lord. Oh, I blew it. I broke his heart. I broke her heart. I acted ugly before my children, my co-workers. What am I going to do, Lord? Ask him to forgive you and he'll do it. And keep right on forgiving you. I'm glad. I can't be holy and blameless. But I'm glad in Jesus Christ and because of his love, I can be. that I can stand before Him one day and not be afraid. Can you? You don't have to be. You don't have to be if you're in Jesus Christ. So let's just move on to the next one now. There again we find dot, dot, on that accordingly He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame, having predestinated us, and don't get hung up on that now. You know, some of us in our denominations get hung up on that. Yeah, I've shared this with you before. I had a church secretary in my church in Greensboro. Her dad was in a particular church. Fact is, he was a pastor in that particular church. And she said, pray for my dad because he can't realize that he's saved. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, his denomination teaches that he won't know if he's going to heaven or hell till he dies. Oh, my goodness. I'd hate to be in that situation, wouldn't you? But they take that word predestination out of context and say that it means that, hey, Chesley, you're going to heaven, but I'm sorry about it, Carolyn. You're going to have to go the other way. Now, I wouldn't like that, would you? What kind of God is that? That arbitrarily goes around and says, 1, 2, 3, 4, you go to hell. 1, 2, 3, 4, you go to heaven. That's not what it means. That word predestined means to line out, to draw out a line. And what was that line? Read it. Before the foundation of the world, He had chosen us that we should be holy and without blame before Him, having lined it out that we should be adopted into His family. He lined it out for everybody. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by or through Christ Jesus to the pleasure of His will. That means every one of you, before the foundation of the world, God lined it out. I want you to be saved. But in His foreknowledge, He knows whether we will or not. You know, foreknowledge and predestination is two different things. But He has lined it out for every one of you. I want every one of you to be with me in heaven. So I've lined it out. I've made the way. I sent Jesus into this world. All you have to do is believe on Him and confess Him as your Savior. I've got it lined out for you. There's no excuse of saying, I don't know, and I might be one of them that go to hell. No. Every one of you can go to heaven. God's already made it. He sent His only begotten Son. He lined it out. It's up to you. You're a free moral agent to decide whether you want to go. He predestinated us into the adoption of children. You think you're nobody? If you're a child of God, you are a child of God. Jesus Christ is your elder brother. You're in God's family. You have royal blood flowing through your veins. And you've heard me tell this before, but I'm going to tell it again because I like it. I was coming from Detroit on the plane one day. I'd been to a Bible conference. And this... You know, I was just a little old Quaker preacher with my, well, with my suit that I got from that French store, J.C. Jacques Pinet, rather. I buy my suits from Jacques Pinet because they fit me pretty good, that French store. There I was with my little old penny suit on, and here come that guy. I could tell by looking at him. He had money written all over. And he's carrying his briefcase, and he sat down beside me on the plane. He opened his briefcase, and he began to shuffle through papers, and he kind of looked at me down his nose, you know. What business are you in? I said, I work with my father. Oh, you do? Well, what kind of business is your father in? I said, well, he's in the gold business, he's in the silver business, he's in the cattle business, he's in the timber business, he's in the potato business, he's in the corn business. Really? Well, Who is your father? I said, Lord God Almighty, he's my father. He owns all the cattle on a thousand hills. Bless his poor heart. He put the papers back in the briefcase, slammed it shut, pushed his seat back, and went to sleep. I was going to tell him about Jesus, but he went to sleep on me. But I mean, you don't have to feel like that with anybody. You don't have to feel like that. Oh, I'm a nobody. You are. You got royal blood running through your veins if you're a child of God. You are somebody. You've been adopted into the royal family of God. That's who you are. And quit grumbling and complaining. Quit looking like a mule. And start rejoicing in who you are. And God did this in verse 5, having lined it out that we might be adopted by Jesus Christ to himself. And that's through Jesus Christ. Listen, we get into God's family through Jesus, not through a denomination, not through a man, not through some kind of sacrifice that we have to go through. But we get into this family by Jesus Christ or through Jesus Christ. You know, over in John, let me see if I can turn to that. I just want to share you with this before we go. In John chapter 1, beginning with verse 13, says, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born into the family of God, not of blood, not of some kind of sacrifice that you have to go through. Now the will of the flesh, well, if I do all these good works, if I give my tithe, if I help my neighbor, I be benevolent in all I do and I be good. No, that don't born you into the family either. Nor the will of man. Can any preacher, any priest, any pope declare you righteous? Only God through Jesus Christ. Notice he says, nor of the will of man, but of God. But of God. That's how we get in to the family of God. That's how we get adopted through Jesus Christ. And it's time to wrap this thing up, but I want you to notice in verse 5 again. He's adopted us according to the good pleasure of his will. That word good pleasure means that it gave God joy to bring you into his family. Think about it, Christian. You caused joy in the heart of God when you came into his family. You know, it's hard for us to picture God. And we can't give God a feature like a human being. God is a spirit. But we can picture that spirit as having joy when you say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, will you forgive me? Then if we could put a body to God, he would be clapping his hands with joy along with the angels. It gives him joy. It gives him pleasure to have you in his family. Who are you? Oh, you've been changed. You're messengers with good news. You're saints and faithful. You're in Christ. You have his great grace and his praise, his peace. We ought to be filled with praise. We are blessed. We are adopted. We are accepted. Notice, to the praise of the glory, in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He says you ought to praise God for his grace. Because how many of us, this old country boy, I don't care how many degrees I got that follow my name or go in front of it. I don't care what prestigious university or seminary that I may have attended. It doesn't matter what kind of standing I've got in the community. If people look at me as somebody that somebody, or they go by and look at me and say, there's that old country preacher, that old country boy, not much to him. But he says that we ought to praise God because of His grace. He has made us accepted in Jesus, in the Beloved. If the only way I could get to heaven, the only way I could be accepted by Jesus was to have a whole lot of worldly goods or be prestigious, I'd never make it. But I don't have to be that. I don't have to have all of that. I've been accepted through the Beloved, God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And you young folks, oh, you're going to have to fight out here in this world. I came up in a generation that had it easy. The only thing I had to fight was a cigarette and a can of beer. But the rest of you, you young people today, you've got so much against you. You've got so much that wants to bring you down. You've got so much that wants to make you feel like you're nothing. That makes you feel like, why should I live in this life? Look at the mess the world's in. And you shoot up an overdose to get over it. You're somebody. You've been accepted by Almighty God because of what Jesus did on that cross for you and for me. I don't want any of you, young or old alike, to walk out of this building today feeling like I've not been on holy ground, feeling like I'm nobody. Feeling like, how can I be holy? How can I be blameless? You can't, but you can through Jesus Christ. You are somebody. Let the world know that. And it's not by, you know, acting haughty or I'm better than you are. But just letting the love of Jesus Christ flow out of your life. Letting people see that you know you're somebody. And you know you're somebody because you've been accepted by God. You've been adopted into His family. You've been chosen to be there because of God's grace. Who are you? Oh, you're somebody. You're somebody because we belong to somebody. We belong to God. Let's stand. Let's bow our heads as we get ready to sing a hymn together. But first, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I know this is a world that we live in where it seems like the joy is gone. Seems like there's nothing to live for. It seems like that we try to have faith in Jesus Christ, but it seems like our faith wavers. It seems like we wonder how we're going to make it. War on every hand. Stock market going down. How are we going to retire? What are we going to have when we get old? We worry about all these things, and we should think about them. But Lord, we should be reminded of who we are. That it matters not what the world comes to, what the world goes through. We're in God's hands. We're somebody important. He loves us. And instead of the world getting us down, we can cause the world to stay away from us with our trust in Jesus. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Now, as we sing this closing hymn, faith is a victory. We've changed it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. If you can't sing that, then you just come on down here and ask the Lord Jesus. He's already accepted you. He's already chosen you. You just got to choose Him. And if you haven't, just come on down.